This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 290. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Get your scuba gear on. It's Aquaman 101. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, January 26, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We are taping this in advance. And I thought with Aquaman joining the multi-title club, because there's an Aquaman and the others ongoing coming in April, it would be a good time to talk about the King of the Seven Seas.
Woo-hoo.
So he was created by Mort Weisinger and Paul Norris, although the latter usually gets the credit for that. His first appearance was in More Fun Comics number 73 in 1941. He's really one of the few characters to survive pretty much intact from the Golden Age into the Silver Age.
So, whereas we had the Flash, who actually changed names and everything,
right.
But Aquaman didn't change.
Right.
That's
his origin slightly changed, but he's pretty much still the same character.
Yes.
And other than Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, pretty much everybody else either changed or went away.
Yes.
So, when you look at it, it's basically the Super Friends. He has general powers. He can breathe underwater. He has super strength and speed, basically due to working in the ocean depths and the pressures of that.
So that when he comes to the surface, he's not under those pressures, so he can do more things.
Right. And he has, for lack of a better term, fish telepathy. He can control fish. So his Golden Age origin, this explorer's wife dies, leaving him with a young son, and he decides to live under the sea. And so he finds Atlantis, and instead of telling the world about it, he sets up a watertight home there, because that's what you do in the Golden Age. And he teaches his son how to breathe underwater and talk to fish.
You can teach somebody how to breathe underwater.
Yes. And he spends most of World War II fighting Nazis and U-boats. He moved from More Fun to Adventure Comics in 1946 and stayed there for many years, along with characters Green Arrow and Superboy and a lot of other characters that ended up out in Adventure Comics.
When back then, did they interact with each other very much?
Prior to Justice League, there wasn't a lot of interaction. Once in a while, other than Superman and Batman, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much the other characters. There was Brave and the Bold, of course. And so, but I'm not sure where Brave and the Bold hits prior. No, Brave and the Bold was already going on.
Okay.
Because that's where the JLA was introduced. So.
A little bit, but.
A little bit, not all that much. They pretty much were separate. And so Aquaman basically went along like that until the 1950s. When the Silver Age begins, somewhere around 1956. His Silver Age origin involves Tom Curry, a lighthouse keeper, who has a child with an Atlantean named Atlanta. Put a lot of thought into that, huh, DC?
Yeah, yeah.
And so son Arthur gains the powers of Atlanteans. So he has the fish telepathy. He has, of course, a prerequisite weakness. Everybody in the Silver Age had to have some sort of weakness. And in this case, he has to touch water every hour or will die.
That seems kind of weird because technically your body's made up of water.
Yeah. Some water. Well, and then they were a little fluid on that, just, you know, not to do a pun, but because at one point he saves himself by dunking himself in milk. So after Atlanta dies, Tom marries a human woman and has a son, Orm, who later becomes supervillain Ocean Master.
Who would name their kid Orm? Orm Curry?
Orm Curry, apparently.
Ooh, I would like some Orm Curry for lunch.
That sounds good. Aquaman's first partner is Topo, an anthropomorphic octopus who helped him out, who could also play musical instruments.
Well, all octopuses or octopi can play musical instruments, and they do it really well because they have so many arms.
Right. And he really was anthropomorphic because he had this human-like face, which octopi generally don't have. But he was kicked out when second partner Aqualad came along, an outcast Atlantean who had purple eyes, and they distrust purple eyes, apparently. And so they just kicked him out. And Arthur takes him in and at first pretty much becomes a clone of Robin. Does pretty much all the same things that Robin does with Batman.
Because they all needed to have a little partner like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. He's a founding member of the Justice League and part of their first story. And he's a long-term member of the JLA throughout the years. He's later voted to be King of Atlantis. You don't vote for kings, but somehow he was voted as king.
I don't know.
And soon meets Mira, a queen of a water dimension. They quickly get married in 1964. In fact, the first major hero wedding in the DCU. And quickly had a child, Arthur Jr., a.k.a. Aqua Baby. He starts to collect villains such as Black Manta, the Fisherman, the Scavenger. He even gets a Mixplick clone, Quisp. Not the cereal.
Why in the world, then, would you name him Quisp?
I think he predates the cereal. I'm fairly sure he does. And then he moved into the more realistic 1970s, so things get a little darker. Manta kidnaps and kills his son. Aqualad becomes rebellious and leaves. And Aquaman started to fight more eco-based menaces, so all stuff about anti-pollution. He was also the leader of the infamous Justice League Detroit in the early 1980s.
So, you know, why would Aquaman, who needs to be in the oceans, be in a Justice League set in Detroit?
Well, by that point, they changed it to say every 24 hours. So it's not every hour.
But still, pretty far away from the ocean if he has to go report to Atlantis every now and again.
Well, no, he just has to touch water. He didn't have
Well, no, but, like, is he still king of Atlantis now?
Well, he's king, but there's a whole ongoing thing where the Atlanteans are mad that he's not spending more time in Atlantis as king.
Because he's in Detroit.
Yeah, and he gets kicked out several times of being king and then comes back. In 1989, there's another origin story. He's now Orin, born to Atlanna and the wizard Atlan, and he's abandoned as a child due to his blonde hair. The Atlanteans are very close-minded.
So Atlanna and Atlan
yes.
got together?
Yes.
Well, that seems a little creepy and weird.
And he's then found after being abandoned by lighthouse keeper Arthur Curry and becomes Arthur Curry Jr., essentially. In the 1990s, Aquaman loses his hand in a battle. He gains a hook. He also gets a beard because it's the grim and gritty 1990s. The King of the Seven Seas actually got several opportunities to head his own title. There was one off and on from 1962 to 78. There was several miniseries, one in 86, another one in 89. There was attempt at an ongoing 91-92. There was a fairly successful one from 94 to 2001 and another one from 2003 to 2007.
And of course, with the new 52.
He's got another one. There was a period in the 2000s when Atlantis was trapped in the ancient past by magic. There was a big push about magic, especially in the Justice League title. Of course, this was, unless I'm mistaken, the Grant Morrison period for the Justice League. At one point, San Diego was plunged into the ocean after an earthquake where it became Sub-Diego. Get it?
Yeah.
Kurt Busiek took over the title in 2006 and completely rebuilt it. At that point, Aquaman is presumed dead due to events in the various ongoing...
There was some crisis.
Crises going on. This young kid takes over and he's advised by this old bearded man that, of course, is actually Aquaman with amnesia. He's killed during Final Crisis, turned into a zombie in Blackest Night, and then resurrected in Brightest Day.
Oh, boy.
And now we're in the New 52 series, as you mentioned. I don't want to forget Aquaman in animation, because we want to start with the Filmation series in the 1960s. Aquaman, swift and powerful monarch of the oceans, with ability to summon and command all creatures of the deep. Aquaman, who with his teenage ally Aqualad, guards and defends all that lives in the seas against the forces of evil. Aquaman, king of the seven seas. So Aquaman and Aqualad get walrus sidekick Tusky for comic relief. They also have seahorses, Storm and Imp, which really make no sense because in most cases, they can actually swim faster than the seahorses can swim.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense for them to ride seahorses.
They just wanted more characters in there. They introduced the sound effect for him telepathically commanding the fish.
Okay.
Ted Knight played the announcer and most of the villains. And so you'd hear a narration like, "And so Aquaman went to fight the villain. Hi, I'm the villain." Aqualad in the series is big on fish puns.
Well, then, was that a takeoff on the Robin and punning? And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, leaping lionfish, Aquaman. And Aquaman likes to call him Tadpole in the series.
Which is just creepy.
Yeah. I actually did a whole blog series covering the episodes of this show. You can find it on sfpodcastnetwork.com under Mark's blog. Then we have the Super Friends, where it looked like Aquaman's main job was to drive around the real heroes. For the most part, pretty much got in the way otherwise. They had to come up with an excuse to have something going on in the water. He did guest on the Superman Adventures and the Justice League series on Cartoon Network. He always refused to get involved because he was too busy protecting the seas. They would come to him for help and he'd say no. He was a regular guest on the Batman Brave and the Bold series, where there he's more of an egocentric adventurer who likes to narrate his own stories, essentially a parody of the Filmation character.
So really, Aquaman is better animated.
I think you're right. There was almost a live-action Aquaman series. A pilot called Mercy Reef was made in 2006 for the CW. He also guested on Smallville as this hunky kid. And he got his own movie on the Entourage series. I do highly recommend, by the way, the Tom vs. Aquaman podcast from Tom Caters. I believe you can still find it on iTunes or you can just search for it on the web. He goes through most of the Silver Age issues of Aquaman, and it's very funny. So Aquaman, one of the pillars in a way of the DCU, but he's really, until Geoff Johns came along, never got the
respect. He was a very disrespected character.
Absolutely. So sorry, no who's on the cover this week due to us taping this in advance. Do want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.